It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dina Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka.
And for this episode, we have, oh my gosh, the regal, the legend, Michelle Yeoh. I mean, just her sitting here, and she was like so like calm, but yes. There was like this, like, oh, you are too fancy for me.
Right? And then you also thought at this, and the flip side, it's like, this girl could actually probably kill me.
Yes.
Or this woman can probably kill me.
She is like, she's a martial arts film trailblazer for women at least.
Yeah, exactly.
And she goes into that in the episode and how she got into the martial arts scene and how that transferred over into her like expansive movie career.
Yeah, I mean, we talk, oh my gosh, Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yeah.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
And she talks about doing her own stunts.
Yes.
Basically. Like, it's intense.
And to see such like this kind of demure and like lady who can really probably kill both everyone in this room
with like one fell swoop.
one fell swoop. Yeah, and then like, of course, we talk about her role in Crazy Rich Asians, who like, which she's like phenomenal in it, and you know, and how that character really isn't a villain, you guys.
Yeah. How she approached it. I mean, she, like, you know, she didn't want it. What did you, you had said something about you didn't approach it as this.
A tiger mom. Tiger mom who's like always hovering. Or like even like a helicopter mom, I guess.
But she
you
really
would say.
Portrayed the type of love that Chinese mothers typically show their children, you know? And it's a different type of love that maybe a lot of people aren't used to.
Especially like the Westerners, I guess you would say. And I think kind of that's kind of common among like all immigrant families, you know, that come here to the States, that love is shown different ways. Rather than saying I love you, it's shown through being a little bit stern, and you know, but they just want what's best for you. But yeah, having her on was kind of amazing for us. And just talking
to see
and
what,
telling
like
her
you
story
said, what she's done for like Asian American or Asian female or female people actors or performers in general. She's done, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you just have to like see her and like pay your respects to her and like, you know, give her props, because, you know, not a lot of people out there. I mean, now we see so more, but starting back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. She was and then like, yeah, she started off as a dancer and then like her dance training.
Which makes sense.
Translated into the martial arts choreography, which. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
but
so.
Just seeing, like, hearing her talk about her experiences and, like, her love for film and, of course, about the love for her Crazy Rich Asians cast.
Yeah.
It was just phenomenal to have her on. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So here is Michelle. So, Michelle, thank you again for doing this and for being on Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. We're very excited for you to be here.
Yes.
Obviously, your career and your work is very well known. But, like, for our podcast, we like to kind of start from the beginning. Like, what was your inspiration when you first got into the business? What was the thing that motivated you?
Okay. Well, hello. Thank you, Amanda and Dino.
Yes.
It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm just still learning about the world of podcasts.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Me too, actually.
You're the fourth Crazy Rich Asian cast member to be on our podcast.
My gorgeous son, Henry Golding.
Yes.
Jimmy O'Yang.
Jimmy O'Yang. And Nico.
And Nico. Yeah. Oh, God, you got all the funnies.
Yeah. Very
hysterical. Well, when I first, actually, I got into the industry by accident.
Oh, okay.
I was just very, very lucky because I was Miss Malaysia at that time. And in Malaysia, we take our Miss Malaysias very seriously because they are like the tourist ambassadors. It's not a ticket straight into TV or film world because at that time in Malaysia, it was very quiet in on that field, in that arena. Then a very dear friend of mine was having dinner in Hong Kong with Mr. Dixon Poon. And he was saying, oh, I've signed up all these great actors like Jackie Chan, Chow Yun-fat, George Lam to do these commercials for me, but I haven't found the right girl yet. Then my girlfriend says, hang on a second here. In her wallet, in her handbag, she whips out my photo and goes, how about looking at this? She is Miss Malaysia. Da, 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 da. And so he looks at her and goes, well, ask her if she's interested to come to Hong Kong, you know?
Yeah.
So that night she calls me and she was like frantic. Get your passport, get on the plane first thing in the morning. So I went.
Wow, next day.
I was 22 years old, almost turning, almost 23. And I made the commercial with Jackie Chan the next morning.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, that's a really good friend.
And we are still really, really
good. Yeah, say good.
It's nice you have good friends.
Yeah, yeah, right. Looking out for you. Yeah, yes,
that's
exactly.
That's what we need in life, right?
Exactly.
But then after that, when I got there, I always believed that, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And it's always a big motivation for me to ensure I do my best. So I'm in this completely new world. I had no formal training as an actor. I didn't really speak the language well. So I just had to keep plowing at it and always listening and always be aware and always learning in the process.
Oh, cool. Was there a certain performers that you looked to maybe like to pull from or?
I was very lucky. The first movie that I did was with Sammo Hung, you know, that big burly actor who is amazing in all the action movies that he does. He's also a director. And Dini Yip, she's one of the most prolific actresses from Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
And so it was, because I was learning from the best of the industry at that point. But I think at the end of the day, it's like as an actor, you can't pull performances from watching another actor.
Okay.
You have to find those emotions in yourself. And in the process, it's like learning, how do you learn these emotions? Because when you're young, thankfully, you wouldn't have gone through the worst heartbreak or the worst situations that you would be putting yourself into. So I always drew my inspirations from my directors. I needed them to guide me through what was it they needed. Because I felt like I was his tool. Because I was helping to tell his story.
Yeah.
And one thing very magical about film is it truly is a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
No one person can do it on his own.
Yeah.
The whole movie is not, unless you're Tom Hanks on, on the island with your football.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fine, yeah.
All right, then, yes. But apart from that, as an actor, it's the interaction with your other colleagues on set.
Yeah.
But the captain of the ship is... The director. He has to, because he's the one that puts out all of us with all different, dealing with all the storylines, but he's the one who has to pull it in all together. And I think one of the more funny stories was like when we were working on Memoirs of a Geisha, and you know, everyone always says, oh, Rob Marshall, so many.
So visual. Oh, God.
So many women to deal with. And all the women, surely they all want to be the best.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, that's the most important thing. How he lets us all feel that we are all number ones. Because without each other being number one, it won't work.
It won't work.
So everybody is crucial to it. And it's simple, like with Crazy Rich Asians. There's such an incredible ensemble cast.
Yes.
It's like something would be missing if we didn't have like Ken Jeong and Awkwafina, that family, or Nico, you know, playing the nephew who puts the things into place. You know, it's not just about the love interests. It's about all the rest of the family and the culture and the food.
And the costume, the food.
And the jewelry. You know, it's like everything has to come together.
So you start in numerous kind of like martial arts and action films. After you were doing a handful of those, did people keep approaching you to do those? And were you kind of worried about like, oh my God, is this
gonna be like the only thing? Were you worried, or like how was it like when you were doing the martial? Were you like looking to do other things, or how was just kind of that experience for you?
In fact, I was the one of the people that pushed myself to do the martial arts.
Oh, okay.
Because at that point in Hong Kong, that was the heyday
of
movies. And in the region, Hong Kong was like the number one film producers at that time. And martial arts or action movies were their specialty, comedies and action movies. In the first movie that I played the, you know, bullied, social worker, damsel in distress. And then I looked at them doing, I saw the guys doing the martial arts, I thought, it looks like a dance piece. I could do that, right? I just have to move my ballet and all my contemporary work and all the sports work that I do into a different kind of movement. So we approached the producers and they thought, well, she's a newcomer. If it doesn't work, we'll just put her back into the box with the others.
With the damsel in distress box. Yeah,
because we know that works. So when we tried, it was very interesting at that time. But I said to the director, I said, you know, when I fight, I would like to be able to fight. Mm-hmm. And you would not be able to differentiate. Not, oh, it's a girl fighting. None of that, okay? Oh, yeah. And because you must give the motivation of the fight, naturally. So, but they to make it easier for the people to accept why this woman was so skilled, I played a detective. So obviously she must be good in physical handling the gun and all this kind of things.
Because part of the job, basically.
Part of the job, exactly. So then it would make sense and people could come to terms with it a lot more. So I remembered sitting on the balcony seats and peering down and think, well, this is going to be make or break. And the audience back in those days in Hong Kong, they were very vocal. If they didn't like it, they would cut the chairs, they would boo, oh my God. But if they applauded, it will be a hit and it will, you know, start rolling out in the theaters that weekend and you will be guaranteed a success. And when
no pressure at all.
But when it worked. And I was very proud of the fact, because women were so happy because they were saying, finally, you know, we can be seen as kicking ass as well, and you know, being able to take care of ourselves and be part of that whole thing. Of course, naturally, when something works, they always try and do the next thing, which is the same thing, right? Because it's like, you know, we producers, sometimes we're not very smart. We just do the same thing over and over again until it's exhausted.
Exactly. Until they start making money.
because it was so unusual for a woman, that they've established that this woman is accepted as a fighter, so let's not lose the momentum on that. So following, I did a few. And at that time, when you're new to the industry, you don't think, oh, am I going to be stereotyped? Thank you. I have a job, and the job is very inspiring at that moment. And I worked very hard to be fit. You know, I almost thought that I was invincible. I mean, I was like walking around. I was in tip-top shape. And then it got to a point where, because at that time when we did action movies, there is no green screen. You know, when
it's all practical, but
when we were on top of that train, someone said, "Oh wow, the green screen in Hong Kong is pretty good." So Jackie and I looked at each other. You did green screen? They seriously? It couldn't be real, right? These guys are not on the moving train, and you know, and they're fighting on top of it. It can't be green screen. It has to be a stationary. Nope.
You were actually fighting on the train. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Jeez. So we did
hardcore.
We were hardcore. Then I did this one movie, and I was so battered. I mean, I had ruptured a vein.
Oh my God! Yeah, I was going to ask, how many injuries have you had?
After that one, because we were told, oh, you're going to Taiwan for 2 weeks and then we'll come back. We went for 3 months, never came home. And by the end of that shoot, literally, I was just like limping.
Oh my God.
And when I got back, I said, I think I need a break.
Yeah, of course.
Or else you wouldn't be able to do it anymore.
And so they did this sort of like a Crazy Rich heist movie. So where I was only like driving the Ferrari, you know, and looking cool.
Yeah.
And traveled around. So they did try to do the breakaway.
Okay.
But it was only much later in my career where more serious, dramatic roles would come your way. Mm-hmm. Because it is very unfortunate. If you look at Jackie Chan or, you know, Jet Li or all the, like,
even Bruce Lee,
they would be sort of almost typecast. They think, oh, they're a muscle man.
Yeah, action stars.
You know, it's very hard to put them in a serious, dramatic role.
Yeah.
But it's also very funny. When I do like a serious role, like The Lady or Memoirs of a Geisha, then the audience go, don't you want to do any more action movies?
And you're like,
I loved it in Memoirs of a Geisha.
I know.
Yeah. So did I.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It was so beautiful.
It's so lush. And just the visuals of that the movie were just amazing.
Yeah. What's, like, your fondest memory from that movie? I'm just curious. It's like one of my favorite movies.
You know the whole Okia? That Okia meaning that village? That
Was it built or was it an actual village?
No. No village will let you take over for 3 months.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
because it's like at that moment, then post-war.
Oh, yeah.
Everything had to be like broken down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it is like spring and then winter.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, and I would never forget the first day when we were going in and Rob Marshall is like, you have to come and see your apartment. And he was so he said, close your eyes. So I closed my eyes. He said, now you're sitting in the window where your apartment overlooks the Okia. Mm-hmm. And he threw the windows open and he said, now you can open your eyes. And when I looked, I felt I was transported back in time to Japan.
Yeah.
Because in front, you know, below my apartment where, I mean, obviously she had the best apartment.
Of course, yeah.
There was like a brook running across with a bridge.
Oh, that in this movie. Yeah.
And then the details that went into the set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't believe it was a set. You believed that it was a real town. Because the moss that was in the embankment, it was just phenomenal. I mean, it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the next day you go back, it's covered in snow. Remember that long scene where I'm in the brolly and I'm going to negotiate for the first time? And you're just walking there, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to, like, break my ankles because it's all just covered.
And snow.
And you wear those, like, you know.
Oh, the
clocks.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And every costume was, like, an art piece.
Yeah. Of course. I wouldn't be scared to wear those.
Colleen Atwood.
She's an amazing. She's amazing.
So we had such a great time working on that.
So let's talk Crazy Rich Asians.
Of course.
The movie, a phenomenal movie and did a lot for the culture.
Yes.
Were you familiar with the book before signing on to the role?
Well, you know, the book was an international bestseller.
Yeah.
And when it came out, I got calls from my friends saying, hey, you should make this movie.
Oh, wow.
It's a really
before
fun
they even
book.
Like,
that was when it first came, I think, 2013. 13,
I think that sounds about right. Yeah.
I read it and I thought, wow. And he had me at the prologue, Kevin Kwan, at the prologue where Eleanor Young comes into this hotel and you look down upon me.
Yeah. Oh,
guess
what?
I'm going to do the smartest thing. I'm going to just buy a hotel. I thought, this woman is sassy. I love her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, in the book, there's so many things going, so many characters, so many different.
Yeah,
it's almost like I think we were talking to Jimmy. It was almost like a Game of Thrones cast. Like there's so many houses and
the family in Hong Kong, the family in Singapore, in KL, and how they all come together to be with the matriarch. You know all that. So it's like when in a movie you only 1.5 hours.
Yeah,
it can be a book. It's like same for Memoirs of a Geisha. How do you reduce it, condense? And you only bring out the certain things that will be unforgettable. So it was I think they did a brilliant job on the remodeling, you know, how they brought the characters like more intense together. But with Eleanor Young, where I truly, truly appreciated the fact was like she was not a villain. They did not portray the mother as the yes, she's disappearing like all mothers and fathers are.
Because
when I'm filming in Toronto on Star Trek, and so I did like a screening for all my cast and crew, you know. So my guys would come up to me, when my daughter brings the boyfriend back home, I'll give him the normal.
It's like a form of hazing almost.
Exactly. My parents are like that too. Like, it's not
and I think it's like it really depends on the culture too.
But I think in general,
it's the same.
In Asia, it's so like that. So anyway, but when we did that, we thought it was such a great opportunity to see how different the same culture is, because the one moved to America and the others are still in Asia. Because, you know, the family ties are so much stronger, because in America, you are taught to be independent, right? Mm-hmm. Go and chase your dreams. Mm-hmm. Go and lead your life the way you want it to be. Because I'm not going to be like carrying you all the way. If you come to Asia, you still find sons or daughters. Maybe they're not married. Yeah. They're still living at home.
Yep,
that's no, that, that not, it translates. Yeah. Some of it translates to today too, because I have a lot of friends who still live with their parents.
Yeah, because they're not married. Yeah,
yeah, they're Filipino.
So
yeah.
her attitude, Eleanor's attitude, is like, because you are so American, you will not be able to put my son's needs before your own. And throughout the movie, they do talk about, you know, how she sacrificed her education. She could have been the most promising lawyer, but she was ready to say, no, I will put my husband's needs, because he needs a wife. He needs a wife who is going to help him with the business and to raise a family. So, you know, the priorities are all different. And I think that was what she was saying to her. Because if you marry him, your whole priorities need to shift. And at the end, it's only at the end she realizes this young girl is much stronger. And she has learned to be stronger along the way. Because it's always harder to put other people's needs before your own.
I love what you said at the Deadline event, when you said that Eleanor was an homage to Chinese mothers. Because of the way they show, you know, the way they show, it's different. It's a different type of love, right? Like the way they show, it's more like, I want to, it's not, I love you. It's not like that.
It's not just vocal, I love you.
It's more physical.
And I think, like, even with, like, In the Filipino culture, like a lot of Asians, we don't say I love you to your parents.
No, we don't know how to say it.
I mean, it's like, now I do. I think it's because me and my parents have lived in America for a long time already, and we're all adults, and like all, you know, I don't see them as much. So saying I love you was like so weird for us, right?
Like, it's sort of like goosebumps.
Yeah, I know.
Especially saying it to my dad. I'm like, oh.
You said what?
Yeah, your dad's like,
that's like, oh, like, what? It's like a what? But now he's like, he's cool with it.
It's acceptable. Everybody does it, you know? But at home, and even when I go back, it's like my mother would like lay out the clothes that she thinks would look the best on me. And I'm just going to the hawker store. You know, it's like, you're looking really tired. Maybe you should put like some makeup on.
Yes. Yeah,
and comb your hair. I'm
The looking really tired is a very popular thing in families.
Yeah. To make you some soup.
And they're not doing it to insult you. They're just like concerned.
That's how they show love. Yeah. It's like,
They show love by insulting you.
In their mindset,
it's not an insult.
Yeah.
And I guess if you dig deep under, it's not really an insult. Like you said, it's just,
it's concern. Concern. It's you kind of just spilled into our next question about Eleanor and like her not being a villain, because I remember when reading the book, I was just like, oh my god, she's kind of horrible.
She was
I was like, oh, she's kind of horrible, but
she's just so mean.
Yeah, so when I was like, oh, they're gonna cast Michelle Yeoh in this, I don't want to see her as mean. But I think you balance, it was well done, just kind of like, she didn't come out as this tiger mom, which was like what I was afraid of.
Right.
But did you pull from anyone, like in your life, did you pull from even your own mother with this?
That's why I said it was an homage to the mothers, because I see, because sadly I don't have kids, but I have good, really, really good friends that lives in Hong Kong. I've lived there for a long time. So I see these mothers who have such great love and concern for their children. Mm-hmm. They do it, you know, they really truly believe that they know what is best. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to have to go through a heartbreak or whatever it is, because they love the saying, we've lived longer than you have. We eat more salt than you eat.
Yeah.
They say that. Mm-hmm. So it was my homage to them. So for me as a storyteller, I feel that I'm an observer. And so from all the different people who are around me, these beautiful mothers around me, they inspire me to tell this character like that. So when we were putting Eleanor together, it was like, I knew in my head how she would look, how, you know, that it's like a face value thing. Mm-hmm. It's like she represents not just Eleanor Young, but the Young family. So, you know, how she would dress, what kind of jewelry she would wear. But most important is that love that you see between her and the son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because yeah. you remember that little scene where he's changing his
shirt.
Yeah,
that scene is really, there's something really meaningful about that.
And, you know, you feel right away, yeah. there is such a strong bond. And it would be horrible that he has to choose between what he thinks is the love of his life mm-hmm. and the love of his family.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that for me was the crux of, you know, all these like different nuances. Mm-hmm. But making Eleanor vulnerable was very important.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, you know, all the things that she had to live through, like the mother-in-law still after yeah. so many years. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. Really? Your dumpling is still...
Oh, God, those dumplings look good.
I know. They look really good.
All the food.
I know. So, oh, yeah. God. Yeah, so... With Crazy Rich Asians, it was very much a moment for Asian Americans, but also just for cinema in general. What do you hope that Crazy Rich Asians did for the Asian community as well, for just like marginalized communities in general?
You know what I hope? You know, it's like the Black Panther, mm-hmm. Get Out, mm-hmm. now with Crazy Rich Asians. It's just gone to prove that the audience want to see.
Yeah.
They want to be included, mm-hmm. you know? It's not just like a token of diversity. It's like, we've been having that, mm-hmm. and it's gone to show that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the most important thing is to give equal opportunities to the what we are called minorities. And mm-hmm. that, for mm-hmm. me, has always been very difficult, because I would be coming from a shoot in China, and suddenly I'm in America, and I've been relegated to being a minority. Mm-hmm. And you go,
yeah,
yes.
something is really weird.
Yeah,
here,
right.
You know, I don't get this.
Yeah.
But it's like when you get a script, it doesn't say, oh, we need an
Asian
person,
yeah.
You know, because yeah. they would make up the. No, we can play anything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly,
and we should
right?
be allowed yeah. to play any part, any role. Mm-hmm. Not, and it shouldn't have to be written a Chinese or African-American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we walk differently? Or
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Unless you're very specific about a time yeah. period, mm-hmm. then it's a different matter. Mm-hmm. I think what Crazy Rich Asians brought out was it's a contemporary story. It's a romantic comedy mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. happening around us today. And it's financed and supported by a studio. It's not just an independent film where we, like a group of Asians, went and, you know,
did
shot
by
ourselves
yeah.
and hope and pray that we get to be seen. What is done for the whole community has been so empowering. I walk down the streets and, you know, I have Asian people come up and just hug me, and mm-hmm. the same thing's like, whoa, what is happening? But loving it, because, you know, they feel included. They feel mm-hmm. like, I see myself on the big screen. Finally,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not invisible.
That's
finally,
all, yeah.
I'm validated as I belong to the community. Mm-hmm. I'm part of this society and mm-hmm. community. So I hope that, you know, more amazing storytellers would be given the opportunity, equal opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come and audition for a role that's supposed to be written for a beautiful actress.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So give us a chance.
Yeah.
Exactly. What is beauty?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's not the normal state, you know, the blonde hair, blue
no,
eye, tall,
it shouldn't
skinny,
be the norm.
Yeah.
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 I mean, can you tell me honestly that if that movie was just cast with blonde hair and blue eyed, it would be an instant hit?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think so.
I mean, how many movies that we've seen?
We've seen a lot of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
The traditional heroic
casting, yeah.
and
yeah.
still,
wow, yeah, and it's like, this is like the what a highest grossing romantic comedy
in
like
the last decade,
yeah.
yeah.
And it's the most solid, Asian or not. I mean, I know I have
exactly.
a bias, I know I may have a bias, but like watching this, you know, I was like, oh, this is a solid romantic
yes,
comedy.
It's such
I was
a
just like,
beautiful
yeah.
feel good about
and,
love, romance,
food,
yeah.
and so relatable to everyone.
Yeah, yeah it was.
Exactly.
Yeah,
regardless of whatever color you
yeah,
think
or
we
background
are,
or yeah.
background,
and it makes
and,
everyone want to go to
all
Singapore.
The different generations.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The kids, the parents, and I heard a really beautiful story yesterday. It was like, so this Caucasian director was going out with. A Chinese girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because he was married before, his children, you know, when they're teenagers, it's very hard for the new woman
yeah,
to
adapt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so the father said he got a phone call at 2 a.m. in the morning, and you start to panic because, you know, at 2 a.m. it can never be good,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So she called and she said, Dad, I just finished watching this movie, and I think it's really okay that you're going out with her.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
So see,
it, we go, oh.
Because suddenly she said,
She understood.
I suddenly felt like the bad person that was like putting on, not because she didn't understand. And she thought, oh no, first of all, she's different culture to us, and she's not my mom, and not this, not that. Then at the end of the day, she thought, but if my dad is happy, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
That was,
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what kind of changes have you seen since starting out in the business when it comes to people of color and women?
I think it's only really happened in a very big way in the last few years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's much, much more genuine representation.
Okay.
Anything, especially with the African American community, you have like the most amazing actresses mm-hmm. who's been there for a while, but not really getting the recognition. But in the last few years, mm-hmm. many more stories are coming out. That's where we are slagging behind. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to push that mm-hmm. envelope as fast. So with Crazy Rich Asians is the first one since Joy Luck Club.
Yeah.
So we hope that this will just prove to the producers that people do want to see.
Exactly.
You know, they don't care. As long as, but we have to be mindful that the storytelling is there.
It's paramount.
Don't just regurgitate and do the same thing just because this was successful. Let's just
making
them,
which is what Hollywood does,
and that has no heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think when you see something like this, you feel it because it's such a shared experience.
Yeah,
so it's happening. I mean, for us, it has been a lot slower, right? Hopefully, this it would be just so nice. Like one of my biggest pride is like when I get sent a script and the guy, and the producer will say, "Oh, it's written for a man right now."
Oh yes,
but you are considered as an actor.
Mm.
And then I think that's what we all want to be,
is
to be considered as an actor, irregardless,
mm-hmm.
right? So give us that opportunity to showcase what we are supposed to be good at.
Oh, I agree.
But was
and behind the scenes, I think it's very important. It's not just in front of the camera, because it's a lot of these stories have to be told right. So now when I see, you know, these Asian writers, directors, female directors, it's like there's more representation if the story comes sometimes from a female's point of view, right? It's like no disrespect to you guys. I mean, you've never stepped in our shoes.
Yeah.
You've never had a period in your life.
It's true.
Going to like the you know, written for a male, but you know, a woman could play it. Was it like, because I've read, I don't know if it's true, because you know how Wikipedia could be, but like with The Matrix, were you considered for the role of Seraph? And then
yes,
and then they, and you couldn't do it because you had scheduling problems. And then they gave it to a man.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like sweet. Like, oh, we have this for Michelle first, but unfortunately,
But I still think it's important the other way around too.
Yeah.
I think that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Either
just
way,
acting. Right? You're right.
It's just acting, unless it's specific, very specific.
Yes. Yeah. Like if you have to have a period, then obviously you have to.
But I think a lot of
the role calls for a period.
But like a lot. But I think a lot of Hollywood still doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
Thing. I think we're still growing.
It's still old school ways of thinking. You know.
But hopefully it's changing. Yeah.
No, I think it is. Mm. I think we just need more people in the background. We need more women in certain roles. You know. In the past, it would just be, oh, this is more a guy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going, why is it a guy thing?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, one thing to make it more change happening is to include everyone in the process. I think what we're doing now is the conversation has begun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past, it was just like whispering, maybe, I don't think so. I think it so much rode on the success of Crazy Rich Asians. If it didn't work.
Yeah.
When we start to do a movie, of course, we want it to be a blockbuster. But that's like the ultimate dream, right?
Yeah.
You don't make a movie and think, oh, it's going to be a flop. You don't do that.
Exactly. Right?
But you are never guaranteed how big the success will be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was terrified.
I think a lot of the Asian community.
Yeah.
Because if it failed, there probably would have been a while. Never mind. No more.
Totally, Right? Yeah. Nobody really wants to see.
Exactly. Yeah. The same thing with Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther as well.
But why can't Black people be superheroes?
Yeah, exactly. But I think you said something too. I don't know if it was you, but somebody said at the premiere that you have to be allowed to fail as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And not,
correct.
And not be like shunned after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
it's not, we don't have that luxury.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Right? Because the numbers, unfortunately, because there will be the producers that hide behind that and see, we can't take the risk.
Yeah.
Because it's also my head on the chopping block if it doesn't work, right?
Exactly.
So in this way, when, you know, it's like, it's very Hollywood as well. When it works,
It works, yeah. Yeah. It's all about money. It's like dollar signs. Yeah.
It's still a business.
Yeah, it's a business. It is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So before we wrap up, we like to ask everybody, like, what's next? So we know, we obviously know Crazy Rich Asians is greenlit for a sequel. According to, I guess, insiders, they're going to do both the books.
Yes. Yeah. Nina Jacobson announced it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's exciting. I mean, I haven't read the other two books. Have you? Are you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. But, like, I kind of know what to expect. But because, like, I already read summaries, and I'm like, why did... And one of my friends ruined the third one for me, and I was like, well, thanks.
But what's next for you that you can talk about?
Well, I don't know whether I can.
You're like, I don't remember.
It's like... You know, the thing is that when it's not announced,
should
I talk about this? Or if I, then when you talk about it, you're like, why did you do that? I am doing Star Trek season 2.
Yes, of course.
You can.
And I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's one of the most incredible characters that they've written for me. Mm. I mean, to play the great heroic captain and then come back as the emperor. Mm-hmm. You know, as an actor, when you get to play such a diverse role in one movie or TV series, it's quite inspirational.
Yeah.
We had Sinequa on a couple months. Right? She's wonderful.
And we had Wilson.
God. Yeah. It's all connecting.
Great. You walk in and you go, okay, I've gone to like Saturday, some like musical because they're singing. These young people. But it was like that on Crazy Rich Asians. Maybe it was a good thing I wasn't in the scenes with Ken Jeong and Awkwafina.
God, that's out of control.
I'd probably be laughing. We were laughing so hard with Nico and Jimmy.
Yeah,
so.
When Nico and Jimmy were on, it was out of control. Yeah. Like, Nico is... Well, both of them are stand-up comics.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have no chance.
Yeah. Exactly. We had a great time.
We were like 75% of the time we were laughing.
So what are you currently binge-watching right now?
Or what are you obsessed with?
I just finished watching Killing Eve.
Oh!
Because I adore Sandra.
Yeah.
I think she is such a fantastic actress. And it was very interesting, to see, like, the... Oh, you haven't watched it?
I
watched the first episode, and I was like, oh, this is something I have to savor, because you can't just be all, I need to watch all of it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think now all of them, we have to slow down.
Yeah, especially for a show like that. You have to kind
for
of...
any show.
Yeah.
No, because when you binge watch, you get, go, okay, I'll get distracted.
Yeah, exactly. You're on your computer, you're on your phone or something. You're not paying attention.
TV habits have changed so much.
That's why I love the movies.
Yeah.
It's like my moment to escape.
Because you can't really, like, you... The movie's there. You can't really have to focus.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, because you have no chance.
Yeah.
You don't have a phone ringing.
Yeah,
you can't have
someone
come in and knock on
the door. Technically, you're not supposed to have a phone, but some people still do.
I know. They'll get into it. Yeah. You can't really do that anymore.
Yeah. And I know you've done like so much in terms of like genres, but is there a certain genre that you want to tackle that you haven't yet, or a kind of character that you haven't yet?
A musical.
Oh, my God.
Because a musical is very much like an action film, right? But I worry about the singing.
Do you have like a musical? What is your favorite musical?
Oh, you know, it's like when my favorite is still The Sound of Music.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh my God, what about you as Fräulein Maria? An like Asian
running over
music.
The hills.
Yes.
Like My Fair Lady. Yes. I die for all those like old time musicals.
You're just watching
Singing
Sound
in the
of
rain.
Music. So if you could go back and give your young self advice when you're first starting out in the business, what would it be?
That's a very interesting. I never think, because you know, you never think you can go back in time to talk to yourself. I think the advice I give myself every day is to like stop and smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
Really make sure you appreciate and enjoy what you're doing, because otherwise it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I think I would still, whatever it is, like don't be such a wild child. Just slow down and really, really take it all in.
Okay. Okay, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I need to do that.
I know, right? I was thinking, I'm like, that's actually really good advice for me. Yeah.
So our final question, we ask this to all of our guests, is there like an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, producer, director, or any storyteller that you think deserves more time in the spotlight that and they're not in the mainstream?
I think writers. Mm-hmm. Like now I'm so proud of Adele Lim. Mm-hmm. She wrote this, and now she's got a new gig at Disney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because I really, truly believe you have to give them the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Yeh Nelson, mm-hmm. did like the Black Panda, the panda. The animation.
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you need to give, just because it's an action film, they go, really? Why would a woman direct something like that? I think you just have to give them an opportunity and let them be the amazing storytellers that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for coming by to see us. Yes. This is a great conversation, and congrats to everything.
Yeah, we can't wait to see Eleanor again.
Yeah. Tell Warner Brothers not to make us wait that long.
Yes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.